Just humbled and honored by the invitation. It is a joy to be able to minister God's word, and again, just thankful for that. Certainly do miss having my wife with me. We're in a season of life right now. We are, her dad has moved in with us, and so one of us has to be there. We can leave for a small period of time, but over an hour, one of us needs to be there. So Heather's not able to come up here and preach, so I guess you get me. Sorry. But it is a joy to have two of our kids with us, and thankful that they were able to come. Thankful Elijah's able to be here as well. He's a good lad. We're thankful to know him, and we're looking forward to December, but probably not as much as the two that are sitting up there. They may be looking to a little bit more. Then I was going to say, it's so I could go through and say what a joy it is to see each of you. It's good to see Brother Prater. Thankful for the Lord's healing for him over in Germany. And so it's good to see him today. And then are you having that much trouble to get me hooked up live?
No.
You're waiting for me to finish my...
I was trying to be polite.
Okay, all right. I have one more to do before... No, I'm almost there. I promise. There is one more I've got to mention, though, and it is a true joy, again, to see so many, but Brother Rodney Spears, what a blessing he is, what a godly, wonderful gentleman he is. Had the privilege to really get to know him when did we go, October to Cuba? And it's great, he knows the language, because I don't, but the Lord just blessed him so much. It was my first time to really go on a trip like that, and I was almost held up in Cuba, and that is not, I'm not being funny. I mean, I literally almost was. Nathan was with us, Nathan Long. Now, he just went through security. He didn't wait for me. He didn't just like, listen, they were confiscating my passport and all kinds of things, but Brother Spears, he stayed behind, and you have to talk to the agents one-on-one, but eventually they knew I didn't speak Spanish, and they allowed Brother Spears to speak on my behalf, which is not always common, right, when you're in another country. And that's not the only reason I fell and grew to love him. He is a wonderful man. I'm glad I was able to see him today. So,
good?
I'm good, brother. That's what I've got. All right.
Those are all wonderful.
Amen. Well, you know what? It's also good to see some of our church members that traveled up from Grace Baptist, too. Thought I should.
Dismiss.
That's right. Amen.
I love that song.
Amen. Okay. I have to, it's always so awkward to see yourself. I don't know, you other preachers, did you all struggle with that? Like the camera, you can bring your greetings from Grace Baptist Church, Mount Vernon, Ohio. It is a joy to be here. I would invite your attention over to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. If you're able, please stand. As I read God's word, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll stop there and again look to our Lord in a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love to us, your mercy, your grace, and your watch care over us. Thank thee, our Lord, for the day that you have provided and blessed us with, allowing us the privilege of coming in to the house of the Lord. I thank you for this church and Brother Ross and, Lord, the labor of love they have bestowed upon us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the messages that we have already heard on wisdom and the salvation that is in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I ask, Father, that you'd be with me now as thy servant, and may you give me liberty and ability to present thy word in truth and in love. I ask, Lord, that you forgive us of our sins, and these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the message that the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning is one to help us with our character as we live our Christian life, one that I trust will be profitable, one that will be practical, and one that I think will be challenging as we listen to the very words of God. I'll preach to you this morning on the subject, embracing self-control in a self-indulgent world. Embracing self-control, that is temperance, that's what temperance means, in a self-indulgent world, in a world that does not encourage self-control, in a world that encourages us to be self-indulgent in thinking about ourselves and how we can live and make sure that we're feeling good for ourselves. The Bible teaches us and tells us that we are to be temperate, that we are to have self-control. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, you read, or we read in verse 4, that there are exceeding great and precious promises. And in this, it says, beside the exceeding great precious promises, there is some more. There is a responsibility to us as God's children. There is a responsibility given to us as those that are in the faith, because it talks about adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Temperance is vital. Temperance is necessary in the characteristics that shape our identity as followers of Jesus Christ. It is not enough, beloved, for us to just simply believe in God. You see, let me be clear. That is sufficient, as we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our only and all-sufficient Savior, for us to go and see our Lord forever in the eternities of heaven. So I wanted to make sure you didn't think my theology was messed up. But as children of God, as people of faith, you and I must also actively seek to embody the virtues and values that God calls us to. We must embody what God tells us in His Word. And that, as we read in the text, encompasses the teaching of self-control in a world, as I said a moment ago, that glorifies self-indulgence. Self-indulgence is simply something that refers to the excessive gratification of one's own desires and pleasures. Often, I'm going to add some stuff here, often at the expense of others or one's own well-being. In other words, we become so self-absorbed or so self-indulgent in what we want that it oftentimes hurts other people when we're trying to pleasure and make sure we've made provision for ourselves. Now, believe me, I know that you have heard about temperance before. In fact, Brother Ross, thanks for always making it challenging. You write so many wonderful books and things. We know your congregation's heard it. And we got to come in here and try to act like we know something when you've already written about it. So I know you've heard about temperance before. But if you're anything like me, I've got to hear about it again. And again. Because the world permeates and the world infiltrates on a constant basis all of this self indulgence, and gratification. The world prioritizes immediate satisfaction and pleasure over long-term goals and values. Self-indulgent behaviors, and this is not an all-encompassing list, can include things like overeating, overspending, seeking constant entertainment, engaging in an impulsive and reckless actions, and prioritizing personal comfort above all else. Rather, we are told in Matthew 6:33 to what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not to seek first all of the things that I just mentioned, but to seek first the kingdom of God. Again, self-indulgence is driven by a desire for instant gratification that can lead to lack of self-control, that can lead to poor decision-making, and have negative consequences in various areas of life. Now, God is sovereign over all, so don't confuse my theology, but you reap what you sow. It can, when we get involved in self-indulgence, hinder our personal growth, damage relationships, and undermine one's overall well-being. So we must recognize and address self-indulgent tendencies, that you and I may foster a self-discipline, a personal responsibility as we walk through this life. And so I have just three parts for us this morning, and it is still morning. We haven't crossed over past noon yet, so we're doing okay. I do want us to understand briefly, understanding temperance, what it is, what is self-control, since I talked a lot about self-indulgence. So number one, understanding temperance. Number two, I desire to give you strategies for self-control. Not Justin Meyer strategies, but things based upon the Word of God, which is the very best that I can bring to you. And then number three, overcoming self-indulgence and the how-to behind that. So we're going to give you some strategies for this self-control, for temperance, after I explain to you what it is. And then I want to give you in the closing some of the how-to. How are you going to overcome? How do we conquer, by the grace of God, self-indulgence? So let's, number one, understand temperance. Temperance is about exercising self-control in every aspect of our lives. It is closely related to the virtue of moral excellence, as both qualities are essential for navigating the challenges that are presented to us by modern society. Now, I'm not looking for a sob story, and I'm not saying, you know, well, in my generation, no, you know, every generation has had its share of problems. And every generation has had things that shape its generation between World War I, World War II, Great Depressions. Those things shape generations. And so our society continues to push how to take care of self. And yet, again, we're told that we must seek first the kingdom of God. As we understand temperance, again, in a culture that celebrates indulgence and instant gratification, I believe for you and I as God's children, it is crucial for us to cultivate the discipline of self-control. This means, listen to me, that we must be mindful of the influences around us and then make intentional choices that align with God's word. That means you and I can't be ignorant to the fact that there's some garbage and some stuff going on in this world today. We can't ignore it because we're Sovereign Grace Landmark Missionary Baptist and think that there isn't some garbage going on. There was garbage going on back in Noah's day too, and God sent a worldwide flood. But you and I have to learn to be intentional about how we serve God and about how we are temperate and the things that we allow to influence our lives. We got to be intentional. Not ignoring and understanding. We got to understand that stuff is out there. Because the opposite, and I know I briefed on this, but the opposite of temperance, again, is self-indulgence, which leads us down a path of destructive behaviors and sinful habits. So, by prioritizing temperance, that is, self-control, you and I learn to resist the temptations that seek to derail our spiritual growth. And don't think for a second that old devil doesn't want to derail your spiritual growth. You'd be outside your mind if you think the devil is pleased that you're here today to grow spiritually. This means, when I said earlier that we must make intentional choices that align with God's word, that you and I must be conscientious about what we do, about what we watch on TV, about what we read, what we listen to. You need to ask yourself these questions. Are these things enhancing or hindering my walk with the Lord? And I can't answer that for you. God gives the instruction. And you know right now, what you're doing, what you're listening to, if you're being self-indulgent or practicing temperance. Now, I like to laugh and joke and cut up. I don't know if y'all picked up on that, right? So living a temperate life doesn't mean you got to just, I'm a Sovereign Grace Landmark Missionary Baptist. I am temperate. Oh, we can have fun. God gave us pleasure, amen? God gave us things to enjoy. Look at His creation. Look at all of the beauty in His creation. I mean, have you ever watched a seal just swimming in the aquarium? Because I haven't seen one in the wild. Man, they have a great old time. They're just floating on their back, you know? It's awesome. What about the little otters out there? You know, God has given us pleasure, okay? So I'm not up here trying to take away all of that stuff. But if that stuff hinders your walk with the Lord, then it better be chopped away. Does that make sense? Like, I can't define for you what is your most self-indulgent things. I can give you the guidance and the instruction from the Word of God, but I know enough to know that we have to be intentional about the decisions that we make, that the things that we do enjoy, that God gives us to enjoy, doesn't hinder our walk with the Lord, but rather enhances our walk with the Lord, rather brings us closer to the Lord. Listen, folks, it's easy to do what's easy. It's challenging oftentimes to do what is right and pleasing to God. Self-control. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28, and the word of the Lord says this to us. It makes it very clear. It's just one verse. I think it's going to make it very clear for us. And in the book of Proverbs, chapter 25 and verse 28, it says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Makes clear that a man who possesses or has no self-control over his inward frame will be defenseless against the assaults of the enemy. So, as I've mentioned, we have mainly three enemies that we fight against: the flesh, the world, and that old devil. And within these three come most of the battles that we have with sin and self-control. So in order to successfully engage in spiritual warfare, we must learn the art of temperance. So, all right, that was it. Number one's done. Number two, I've got four strategies that I wish to share with you on self-control. And then thirdly, as I said, I want to help us overcome this self-indulgence. All right, now these are not, again, I'm not a philosopher. I'm not any of those things. I have been called to preach the Word of God. So you're going to get God's Word. This is how we combat these things in our lives. So number one, we must guard our hearts. You're still in Proverbs, most likely, so turn back a few chapters to chapter 4, and I'll read verses 23 through 27, Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That's a command to us. That's a to-do. You, me, keep thy heart, right? With all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyelids look right on, and let thy eyeballs look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That's a lot of action words. Verbs. Ha! Ha! Yes! Did I use verb right? See, I don't claim to be real, real smart. Those are some action words for us. Those are some to-dos. You have a responsibility in a self-indulgent world to be temperate, to guard your heart, to remove out of evil, to protect our inner selves from the sinful influences by actively monitoring our thoughts and emotions. What does the Bible say in the New Testament? That we are to bring every thought and emotion into the captivity of Christ. What would Jesus do? And as we guard our hearts and we actively monitor our thoughts and emotions, we prevent negative attitudes from taking root. That was number one. Number two. We must align ourselves with God's standards. Instead of conforming to social norms, we must strive to live by God's righteousness. This, of course, involves rejecting worldly values and embracing the principles outlined in Scripture. Because there's going to be times, folks, when this world rattles you. And what you have inside is what is going to come out when you get shaken and rattled. I got some perspective to share with you. This is not a Justin Meyer original. This is something that I read. I enjoyed it. Some of you have heard it before. You get to hear it again. And for those of you that have not heard it before, well, you get to hear it for the first time. But we must align ourselves with God's standards when the world shakes us up. Let's say you're walking and you're holding a cup of coffee. All right. And let's say someone bumps into you and it causes you to spill your coffee everywhere. Why did you spill your coffee? Well, most of us will say, because someone bumped into me. Someone bumped into me. That's why I spilled my coffee. And I will tell you that's the wrong answer. You spilled the coffee because that's what was in your cup. If you had tea in your cup, you would have spilled tea. If you had some good chocolate milk in your cup, you would have spilled chocolate milk. You see, the bump is going to come. The rattle in life will come. And when you are living in this self-indulgent world and you're fighting against all of the temptations and all of the powers and all of these things, and life bumps you, what spills out? Hopefully that which you have put in, and that is the Word of God and the precepts of God. That's why you continue to come to the house of God. That's why we sing the songs. That's why we do what we do. So that when we're bumped, when we're rattled, it is the teachings of God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that spills out. So Capital One asks, what's in your wallet? I ask, what's in your cup? Third strategy I wish to give you is that you must walk in the Spirit. I know none of these are like, wow. But they're so good because they're from God's Word, aren't they? And because of that, that's wow. It's awesome. That third strategy is that we walk in the Spirit. You can turn over to the book of Galatians and enjoy what God has to say to us here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. I won't read them all, but it comes down to that fruit of the Spirit, right? So again, walking in the Spirit. We could lust, right? Verse 16, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So again, embracing self-control in that self-indulgent world, the lust of the flesh. And it goes on and tells you all of those different things that are of the flesh, that are of the world. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, here's another action, have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. Listen, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Self-indulgence, right? So, strategies. Guard your heart. Make sure you're aligning with God's standard. Walk in the Spirit. And I'm going to give you number four now, but then number four also comes into my part three of the message with some of the how-tos to apply these strategies. And that is filtering what we see. In Psalm 101, it highlights the importance of monitoring our visual intake. You heard me earlier say that we have to be intentional. We can't ignore that we are inundated in society to not be temperate and just to take care of us and to succeed and push forward and all those different things. But you and I, beloved, must also be intentional about what we expose ourselves to. We must safeguard our minds from harmful influences. Which brings us in to the last part of the message on overcoming self-indulgence. I fear giving you how many how-tos I have here because you'll be counting them down, but it's more than one and less than 100. So, I mean, it's somewhere in there, and then I'll be done. So there you go. All right, so we've talked about self-indulgence. We are now understanding what temperance is. Through the Word of God, we have strategies for self-control. And you and I, by the grace of God, not because of anything great Justin Meyer does, but all because of the greatness that Jesus Christ does and who He is, can overcome self-indulgence. Our natural inclination toward selfish desires makes it easy to succumb to self-indulgence. However, turn over to Romans chapter 13, because that reminds us to prioritize spiritual growth over worldly pleasures. Now again, please understand, you know, if you're thinking about, you're looking around, you're saying, well, so-and-so obviously is pleasing themselves today, right? They're not here. Listen, life is life. We live life. We have activities. We have things that we need to do. But I'll tell you this. You ought to make sure the house of God is a priority in your life. Romans 13 does remind us, again, of the to prioritize spiritual growth over worldly pleasures. Just verses 11 through 14, so towards the end of the chapter. Verse 11 of Romans 13, "And that, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Amen. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't make provision for the flesh. We are really good flesh provisioners. Really good at it. So we've given you four strategies for self-control, and now let me give you some of the how-tos here. filtering out what we see in order to practice self-control. Again, I keep using this word intentional. It means being intentional about the content that we consume through various forms of media. So here are some practical ways to filter out negative influences and cultivate a healthier intake. Number one, ready? Limit exposure to negative content. Limit your exposure. It's out there. Negative content is out there. Remember, that's why I said there's garbage and there's junk in the world. I get that. But limit your exposure to negative content. That means you and I must be mindful of the types of media that we consume, such as our shows, movies, social media, websites. I would encourage you, absolutely, avoid content that promotes violence. Avoid content that has explicit language. Avoid content that has unethical behavior. And I would encourage you to consider setting boundaries or time limits for screen time, reducing exposure to harmful influences, embracing temperance in a self-indulgent world. So, number two, if we're going to limit exposure to negative content, we must then choose positive and uplifting content. Now again, I'm not going all crazy on you here. God's Word has positive and uplifting content in its pages. Amen. 66 books in this library. And it gives us positive and encouraging content. And God's creation gives us positive and encouraging content. So you don't want to, when we're talking about not becoming, you know, again, being overcome by self-indulgence, we absolutely need to limit negative content, and we need to have some positive content. Seek out media that aligns with your values and beliefs. Yeah, watch movies and TV shows that inspire, educate, or entertain in a positive way. Listen, oh, you're sheltering your kids. Look, my kids know it's evil out there. They know. Follow social media accounts or websites that promote joy, personal growth, and spiritual well-being. They're out there. They're out there. All right, number three. Again, less than 100, folks. We're almost there. Utilize parental controls. If you have children, use parental controls and settings on your devices, your streaming services, to restrict access to inappropriate content. Set filters to block certain websites, apps, or TV programs that are not suitable for your family. And so that means, number four, that all of us in this room must also curate our social media feed. That's number four. These are, again, tips and strategies, the how-tos to overcome in this self-indulgent world. That means you need to unfollow or accounts or pages that consistently and constantly share negative or triggering content. Again, follow accounts that promote positivity and the things of the Lord, considering that this is, again, exactly what God tells us to do. I've laid all of that context already by sharing those scriptures. You've got to be intentional about the content that you are feeding yourself. That means you have to be temperate. It's exactly what God's Word says. Number five. Okay, there's seven, so we're almost there. Number five. Ha, I like this. I do this at my home church sometimes. I act like I've never seen it before. Like I, thank you, Brother Matt. Like I'll be down, I'm like, man, that's really good. I'm like, oh yeah, thank you, Lord, forgive me. All right, sorry, number five. Y'all pray for Grace Baptist Church. This is their norm. This is not, number five, engage in hobbies and activities. Instead of relying solely on screen time for entertainment, engage in hobbies, maybe a sport, maybe an activity that promotes physical, mental, and emotional well-being. I would encourage you to spend time outdoors. If you enjoy reading books, read good books. I already talked about the kind of stuff you need to be doing, right, in this self-indulgent world. You know, maybe listening to music or participating in creative outlets that nourish your soul and mind, that help us to be closer to Jesus Christ. Number six, you must practice mindfulness and awareness. I know I keep beating this one up, but I'm going to keep beating it up because we're in a whole new world. We're in a whole new culture. I need you all to be intentional and conscientious about the impact media has on you. God's Word should have the biggest impact on us in our entire life. Social media, real, all of it. And Listen, I'm preaching to myself. You've got to know that. I get sucked into the vortex of social media just like the rest. We've got to be conscientious of the impact media has on your thoughts, on your emotions, and your behavior. Again, I'm gonna ask you to take breaks from screens, practice mindful techniques, reflect on how certain content made you feel, and cultivate a sense of awareness and discernment when consuming media, and get in the Word. That's what you gotta do. You gotta get in the Word. You gotta be here. You gotta read God's Word and go visit the Creation Museum, go to the Ark, go take a hike, do all of those beautiful and wonderful things. But be mindful of the impact, again, that social media has on you. Because it is a self-indulgent world. And God tells us to practice temperance. Number 7, finally. So if you're struggling, it's okay. Seek accountability and support. There should not be a Baptist in this place that is too pious or too proud or too arrogant that would not want to help a hurting brother or sister. But we've made that hard for our brothers and sisters, haven't we? We're not overly conscientious on, I think, how judgmental we look. We wear it on our face. A brother or sister comes to us, and all of a sudden, our faces can't hardly control it, and they're like, why did I even do this? Shame on us. And at me, I mean, you talk about wearing stuff on my face. It's all over. If we're having trouble with temperance, if we're having trouble with an area in our life, seek out accountability and seek support. Invite trusted friends, family members, mentors, pastors to hold you accountable. Maybe media is just taking over. Share your goals for filtering out that negative content and ask for encouragement and guidance. May God help us in these things. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen? That scripture is true. When one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, but we never know when a member's really suffering, do we? I mean, maybe sometimes if they have a financial problem or something like that. We've made it so hard to be emotional and to be vulnerable. God already knows. And God has made us relational beings. And God is awesome to send support and guidance and help. We know that the great physician, you all know that I know this, the great physician, of course, is Jesus Christ the Lord. But praise God, He uses people. So, thank you for your attention to the Word of God. As you and I, as we strive to cultivate self-control in a self-indulgent world, we are reminded of the blessings that come from embracing God's principles. By prioritizing temperance and resisting the temptation of self-indulgence. May God help us to embrace temperance in a self-indulgent world. Thank you for your attention to the Word of God.